Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. Well, thank you for coming to my channel. I'm commenting on Gulf Arabs who have come to the United Kingdom the last 7 weeks or so since Israel and the United States initiated their illegal war of aggression against Iran. So there are six members of the Gulf Cooperation Council, all Arab countries, these six, I'm not saying all Arab countries belong to the GCC, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Bahrain, the United Arab Emirates, and Oman. Now, Oman doesn't host any US military bases, but it does host a British one. Nevertheless, Iran was hit by just a couple of Iranian drones, and rather there's none. All the others have been hit by Iranian drones, missiles, rockets, and indeed Israel, indeed Iraq, which is not part of the GCC, has got a very tiny Gulf coastline through the Shatt al-Arab, that waterway. But several thousand Gulf Arabs have come to the United Kingdom since the war commenced. Now, some of them would come anyway, it's in the run-up to summer. People came on holidays, extended the holidays, and they were a Kuwaiti family in particular. And so wealthy Gulf Arabs have been coming in serious numbers since the 1970s, since those countries really started pumping oil out at a significant rate and making money. So often staying in London, of course, in London, the summer is like the winter in somewhere like Saudi Arabia in terms of temperature. Going up Edgware Road to those Arab restaurants often run by Syrians and Iraqis, or picnicking in, picnicking in Hyde Park, the end of Oxford Street, going to Arabian Oud, that perfumery and so forth. So some of them are in the United Kingdom to escape the war. Now, not many have come to the Republic of Ireland, but these are people often with serious cash. The United Kingdom has taken in well over 100,000 Ukrainian refugees because of the war, and people have fled other conflicts in Afghanistan and have come to the United Kingdom. So why not Gulf Arabs, especially as they bring money, once people that the UK wouldn't have to be paying out for? One of the responses to the Russo-Ukrainian war I disagree with is ending these golden visas. If you invested over £1 million, you, your spouse, your minor children, they could come and go from the United Kingdom for 10 years, could stay 10 years nonstop, didn't have to go out for a single day. There's a possibility to gain indefinite leave to remain and or citizenship during that time. Well, so long as these people aren't connected to Putin, aren't in some way supporting the war, I would still let them in. I mean, I remember as a colleague said to me, it's not as though racism against Russians is good because of the war. It's not. It's not good against any people. So I thought this is an advantage. Every problem is also an opportunity for the UK to bring in affluent people. And wealthy people seem to be fleeing the United Kingdom because of Rachel Reeves's tax hikes. So that was an opportunity in the Irish Republic. We ought to grasp this with both hands. And of course, this war, more people are going to be fleeing Iran and other countries, countries which are not wealthy at all, crossing Western Europe. And of course, I can't blame them for seeking a better life, wouldn't you? Right. So what do you think should be done? Should these people be granted refugee status for a while? I'm often thinking about the Afghan refugees. More of them should be brought out. Some of those who are special forces soldiers and interpreters, their first degree relatives in Pakistan, hiding in Pakistan. The UK should make aid to Pakistan conditional on them being released and stuff like that. Some of these were special forces soldiers who the British Army would like to recruit, but they weren't allowed to join because they hadn't been in the UK for a specified number of years. And the Hong Kongers who were given refugee status in the United Kingdom, those who are British nationals overseas, it's coming up to 5 years since they came to the UK. Will they be able to claim their citizenship or their indefinite leave to remain after 5 years? I very much think they should. And I'm somebody who wants limited immigration. I didn't say none. I don't think immigration is disastrous, and I don't mind net positive immigration. In the Irish Republic, we've benefited from that, and there's occasionally been disbenefits. Likewise, the United Kingdom. So, that's one of the reasons I'm against Reform United Kingdom, because Reform UK has this unhealthy fixation with immigration, scapegoating immigrants as though it's the source of all the UK's troubles, as though immigrant is some sort of foul insult, and immigration is always a crime. Well, it seldom is, and when it is a crime, come on, it's not the worst crime. And you can't blame them. Put yourself in their shoes. Wouldn't you want to live in somewhere more affluent, somewhere that's safer and freer with greater human rights? It's actually the ultimate compliment to the United Kingdom that people would want to come in to the UK. And obviously the UK is so stupid with its benefit system. Remember Milton Friedman, the great right-wing economist in the 1970s, saying you can't have welfare and immigration. The United States had huge immigration in the 1970s, sorry, in the 19th century, because it had no welfare. But when you bring that in, then obviously immigrants can be, you know, on benefits, so some of the native citizens as well. Now, I wouldn't deny people all benefits, like child benefit. I wouldn't deny people access to the NHS in most cases and things like that. I'm not against the welfare state completely. I just want a more limited version of it, as originally conceived in the 1940s. So I think the UK in some ways too restrictive, makes it too difficult for European citizens. I mean, I would like it to deal with the European Union to allow EU citizens to come to the United Kingdom using their ID card only. Remember, all European Union countries, with a single exception, the Irish Republic, have compulsory ID cards for adults to be carried in public at all times. And they're allowed to travel within the European Union on that, and I think to Switzerland and Norway, other countries in that sort of European free trade area. And a French day trip is allowed to go to Jersey, for instance, using that ID card. We think they're not permitted to stay overnight with that one. So I would bring that back in. And the United Kingdom had these voluntary ID cards under the Blair and Brown government, scat when Cameron's Conservative government came in. I mean, I'm not against one. I might have applied one for myself. And the Irish Republic can get a voluntary ID card, passport ID card with your passport to pay a bit more. Fits in your wallet, the size of a credit card, and that makes life easier. So I would let European Union citizens come more easily, and ideally in exchange for the European Union saying that British citizens can come without all these biometrics and the ETIAS, without having to fill out that form in advance. The United Kingdom should make it more difficult for European Union citizens. If people want to come and spend money, fine. I mean, I'd have some scheme whereby they could work something like up to 20 days in the UK without needing to apply for any visa. For example, musicians coming to perform, and their makeup artist, and their lighting professionals, or whatever, and their sound engineers, they could simply come. People are going to participate in a conference and get paid for it, or come on a business trip. Especially, they're not just negotiating business, they might actually be paid per day, something like that. Someone giving a guest lecture. So, for very short stays, because there is some sort of visa people can get, like artists can get for performances. Otherwise, people couldn't come to give a concert for one night only. So, other things need to be done to sort everything out. But ideally, the reciprocity. But there may not be mutuality of this, of course, because the European Union, with 27 member states, with 450 million people, has got considerably more bargaining power. But unfortunately, the two sides are putting up barriers to each other. To some extent, it's the European Union wanted to make an example of the United Kingdom and penalise the UK, lest any other member states consider withdrawing. They'll say, and this will be your lot. You will suffer. I remember another Irishman speaking to me. It was the day after the United Kingdom voted to reclaim its independence. So 23rd of June 2014, 2016, it was the next day. And he said, you've got to expect an FU reaction. And that's largely been what's happened. Unfortunately, it's somewhat succeeded. I mean, in that much as the Ramoners, it's grist of the mill for them. And that's why the Starmer administration is stealthily undoing Brexit, talking about rejoining the European single market, which is not the European Union, but is a step closer to it. And the argument would then, why not go the whole hog and rejoin the European Union? Anyway, so that's it. And I would allow European Union citizens to stay for maybe up 180 days in the United Kingdom, even if the EU wouldn't allow British citizens to stay quite so long over there, things like that. It's all about, is someone going to stay illegally and work? And it's difficult to, it's unpleasant to top up with the same brush, but in certain nationalities, because their average wage is so much lower than the UK, for instance, it'd be very, very tempting to stay on and work illegally. And I don't think they're evil people for doing that. But if you come from a European Union country, even the poorest one, Bulgaria, is behind the United Kingdom, but not by miles. And why would they work in the UK illegally when they can work legally in countries which are even more prosperous, like Luxembourg, for example? Right, thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecarlin79@gmail.com. Goodbye.